Numbers chapter 5. We're in Numbers chapter 5 this morning. And when I listen to this chapter, when I listen to the book, and a wonderful thing about our electronic age today is that if I choose to, I can go online and I can have someone who can pronounce all the names and all the words correctly, and I get to listen to the Word of God being read out loud as I read along. Well, when it came to the book of Numbers, I listened to this book 5, 6, 7 times, and every time this 4 verses of chapter 5 struck me as an oddity. From the passages of Scripture that we have preceding and the passages of Scripture that we have after, this seemed like an oddity. But the more we look at it, we find that here again, what the Apostle Paul wrote, that these things were written for our understanding, for our knowledge, for our edification. And in fact, the word that is translated there often means types. We're going to see types of Christ in this passage of Scripture and types of sinners in this passage of Scripture. So let us read these first 4 verses of the 5th chapter of the book of Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command. Did you hear that word? Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female, shall ye put out. Without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps, in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp, as the Lord spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. I found that a very interesting passage of Scripture, that the children of Israel were commanded to take these 3 groups of people and place them outside the camp, to put them outside the camp. Now, the reason for it is found there in verse 3, where it tells us, as the Lord spake unto them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. So we have the reason that this is happening. Brother Robert Hawker said in his commentary, it is always pleasing and profitable to observe in the letter of the law the spiritual meaning of it. So we're looking for the spiritual meaning of this. Now, this happened. This truly happened there in those days when they were traveling through the wilderness. This really happened, that God commanded that the children of Israel put these 3 groups of people, these 3 classes of people, male and female, out of the camp. That happened. But there is a reason that this happened. It is a spiritual reason, and that is still happening today. It reminds me of a passage over in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Would you turn with me to Matthew, chapter 13? As we look here, the Lord's instructions and comments with regard to something. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, beginning with verse 37, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 37. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. This is the Lord. So we may proclaim it, but the sowing of it is the Lord's. He is the only one. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. He is the only one that has the ability of overcoming us, overcoming his people, overcoming their will, overcoming their sin, overcoming everything. So the battle is the Lord's. And it goes on to say, the field is the word, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, did you notice that it says there, the tares shall be gathered and burned in fire, but all that defile, all the wicked that defile, there in verse 41, things that offend them that do iniquity. Now, we have a picture of that over here in the book of Numbers. What the Lord shared with his disciples there, and what he's still sharing with the church today, that he is going to put out all those that defile, all the wicked ones shall be put out. This is a demonstration of the holiness of God. It's always a blessing when we can see into the scriptures that God declares his holiness in type, shadows, and pictures, but he also declares it in his realness, that he is a holy God, and no man shall stand before God except they have the holiness of God. The command to put out, the put out of the camp. Now that it's just amazing to hear those words as Moses declared to all the children of Israel. Now they're putting out their family, they're putting out their wives, they're putting out their husbands, they're putting out their children, they're putting these people outside of the camp of Israel because they are a defilement to the holiness of God. Now what does this have for us? What's it sharing with us? This is not talking about church discipline. Let me put that right up here in front. In several of the commentaries I read, this is just a dissertation on church discipline. Well, this is not church discipline. In fact, a pastor friend of mine was asked one time, it's interesting what people will call up and ask about because they're looking for a church to attend. And this person called up a pastor friend of mine and said, do you believe in church discipline? And he said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, putting people out of the church. And this pastor says, I believe in restitution. I believe in God dealing and bringing them back, you know. And so this is not dealing with that. This is a much different subject than that. And the gospel generally will take care of anything that needs to be taken care of in a church. That's just generally what will happen. Here in this passage of Scripture, we find that the glory of God and honoring His blessed name is uppermost. It is foremost. The reason these persons are put out of the camp is so that the glory of Christ be not defiled. Now, the Lord shares with us a number of places in Scripture about this kind of defilement, and one of them is found over here in the book of Exodus. Just back up a little bit to the book of Exodus. My actions are defiled because they come from a diseased and wicked heart. I have all my works are defiled. All my actions are defiled by my wicked heart. And over here, such a simple thing as building an altar unto the Lord. We think, well, that would just be an easy thing to take care of. But here are the instructions about erecting an altar unto the Lord. In the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 25, and if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. What is he talking about? He's talking about adding our works. He's talking about adding our works unto this. It's thou shalt lift, for if thou wilt lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. You've polluted the altar of the Lord by putting a work to it. And so as we look at this, we find that this comes out generally through the scriptures of how we pollute the very Lord. The gospel message is not by our personal disease, but by our actions against the Lord. And then if you'll travel many years and quite a ways through the scriptures into the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, when he was used by that Holy Spirit, and I appreciated that this morning there, as the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, he moved upon holy men to bring to us the Word of God. And here in this wonderful passage of Scripture in the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Scripture share with us about another gospel. It says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert or pollute the gospel of Christ. So as we look at this passage over here in the book of Numbers chapter 5, we're going to look around these verses that we just read about bringing a stone, hewing out a rock, is adding our works to that altar. And here, the Apostle Paul was led by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit to write these things unto the churches of Galatia because they had been crept up upon by those who had polluted the gospel. As it says, perverted the gospel. They perverted the gospel. And when we pervert the gospel, we change the gospel. We're always going to add some tools to the altar. We're always going to add some work. Now, in the book of Numbers chapter 5 and verse 2, we have three classes of people that are mentioned there. Three groups of people that are mentioned there. We have every leper. We have everyone with an issue. And whosoever is defiled by the dead. Three groups of people, and all three of these are to be put out of the camp. Every leper, everyone that has an issue, and everyone that's been defiled by the dead. These are to be put out of the camp. They bring a unholiness to the holiness of God. They bring the camp is defiled by their presence. The camp where the Lord dwells is defiled by their presence. And the Lord said he would dwell with them there at the tabernacle. He would visit them there at the tabernacle, and we cannot have. God said, we will not have. I will not have these about us. Well, we know from the Scriptures that these three conditions are brought up in the book of the Psalms. Would you read with me the book of the Psalms? And then we're going to look at these individual groups and what the Lord has to say about these individual groups, particularly in the New Testament. In the book of the Psalms, Psalm 32. Psalm 32 shares a passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul was used to bring into his writings in the book of Romans. Glorious passage of Scripture, so meaningful to the church because we are so thankful for God's grace that he places us in this position. In the book of the Psalms, chapter 32, Psalm 32, and there in verses 1 and 2, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Verse 2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So here is the position of the church by the grace of God. Here is the position of the church by God's mercy. Here's the position of the church by God's elective grace. Here's the position of the church by God being involved. Here's the position of the church by him winning the victory on our behalf. And this is what we want. This is what we desire as God gives us the understanding. But here we have three groups of people that God distinguished there among the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if you remember, the 12 tribes were around the tabernacle, and they were in their given position around the tabernacle. And then we have the Levites around the tabernacle itself. And we have Moses and Aaron there in a very special place, and those priests in a very special place. And now we are told that these that had leprosy, and these that had an issue, and these that had touched a dead person are to be taken out by their families and placed without the camp. And then we read, blessed is the man who's not had their sins imputed to them. Well, let's look at this for just a moment. This leprosy. Leprosy defines sin in so many ways. You know, the person that had leprosy, as it's defined in the Old Testament, to begin with, they didn't know what they had. You know, as we grew up, we don't know the problem that we have. I have great concern for people that make great effort in dealing with little kids and trying to get a profession of faith out of them. I have grave concern about that, because by nature, we grow up, we don't know the problem we have. And here, this person has a spot to it. Well, I don't know what that is. Visiting with a man over this past month who had a spot on his back, and he's had it for 35 years, and pretty soon it started to grow. Well, he didn't know what he had. He had to go to a doctor and found out that he had cancer cells there. Well, by nature, a person that starts with leprosy doesn't know what they have. But as the leprosy grows, we find that leprosy is also a condition in its day and its time that we're writing about. It was incurable. You got leprosy, you had leprosy. You're going to die with leprosy. And it's such a picture of us in our sin that we are leprous by nature. We are sinners by nature. And though we may not even realize it for some time, and then when God gives us a new birth, we find out actually how terrible the condition was that we had. Well, the book of the subject of leprosy is mentioned a number of times in the scripture, but one that is so interesting is found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13. If you had this, you were to go to the priest, and the priest was to make a diagnosis. Well, here in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, chapter 13 of the book of Leviticus, we're dealing with people who had leprosy. Chapter 13 of the book of Leviticus. Now, just keep in mind that the Lord, Jehovah, commanded the children of Israel through Moses to take these people and place them without the camp, because they're identified with leprosy, and they are pictorially, they are in a type, they are sinners. And sinners defile the very presence of God. We cannot be in God's presence in the condition that we're born in. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, "And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy." Oh, my goodness, to have that said to us, to have it prescribed. We see this, that it's come out, and you have leprosy. Oh, my, to even think for a moment, to be a sinner before God. And then it goes on, "And when the plague of the leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and have turned the hair white, and there is quick raw flesh in the rising, it is an old leprosy in the skin of the flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and he shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh." Now look at this verse of scripture. Verse 13, "The priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all the flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean." Now, what in the world does that mean? That the priest should notice somebody from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet, that their leprosy is all turned white. They shall be declared clean. Well, we have a comment on this in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. The book of Isaiah, chapter 1. In Isaiah, chapter 1, and verse 18. There is an allusion to that great whiteness that this leprous person has, that he's declared clean. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1 and verse 18, we have this: "Come now, let us reason together." Now, there's only one way that God will allow us to reason with him, and that is when we're converted, we agree with him. We cannot be at odds with God and walk with him. We cannot. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." As God works a work of grace, God's people are going to agree with him. And it goes on to tell us here, and here's that allusion: "Though your skins be as scarlet, they shall be as" what? "White as snow." And what does that mean? Well, it tells us over there in the book of Leviticus that when the priest noticed that from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet, it's all white, he shall be declared clean. Here is what this is, significance of it is, though your sins be as scarlet, oh, as raw flesh, as red, as ghastly. Here it says here, they shall be. When God brings us to that place, when God reveals unto us Christ, when God gives us the new birth, he said, you are completely and totally depraved. You're totally sin. When they shall be as white as snow, though they be crimson like red like crimson, they shall be wool. What does that mean? When God reveals to us the totality of our sin nature, that the leprosy is so complete, from the top of the head to the bottom of our feet, we are nothing but sin. God has revealed to us the truth of the gospel, that he has come to save sinners from their sin. Complete sinners, total sinners, not half sinners, not quarter sinners, not three-quarter sinners. Not those who say, I'm okay in this area, but the rest of me, I'm bad. No, it is complete sinners. Leprosy, in its completeness, can be forgiven, can be made clean. So, when we are, our sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Clean, clean, clean. Forgiven by the Lord. The Lord is in the business. That's his great work of grace, that he deals with us in our sin, just as I am, without one plea. Just as I am with sinners. The Lord mentions, and we brought this up just recently, but I want to look at it again over in the book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Here we have an incident where the Lord is dealing with leprosy. The Lord deals with leprosy in his ministry. He dealt with it in the Old Testament in type, shadows, and pictures. And he saved his people from their sins there. They were leprous completely. And when he saved them, they realized, oh, wretched man that I am. They recognized, oh, I'm undone. They recognized, I have no hope in myself, that I am completely and totally, and I am at the mercy of the grace of God. And here in the book of Luke chapter 17, the Lord deals with a bunch of lepers, 10 of them, 10 lepers. Now, notice what happens here. In the book of Luke chapter 17, the Lord dealing with those. Now, every time that the Lord meets somebody in his public ministry, it's by divine appointment. They are there because he intends for them to be there. And he is there because he has purpose before the foundation of the world to be there at that very moment. And here in the book of Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 12, the scriptures share this. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 lepers that were 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They are to be without the camp. They are to be away from people. And they lifted up their voices and said, now everybody said this, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. But as we heard this morning, not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, is in the kingdom of heaven. Only those that the Lord has given those words, that meaning, that agreement. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. Now this is what we find under the law in the Old Testament. Go show yourself to the priest. The priest has to look at this. And it shall come to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now the Lord is so merciful to his church. He shows mercy in ways to even the lost. He gives them food and sunshine and rain. And in this case, he healed 10 lepers that had no acknowledgement of him as the true Savior. They had their old religion. They went on their own way. And it says, and when one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a sinner two ways, sinner as a Samaritan, sinner as a leper. But he's been healed. And the Lord answering and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Oh, the Lord was merciful to all, but this one, God had worked a work of grace not only on the outside, but a work of grace on his heart. He was converted by the grace of God. He was born again by the grace of God. And it just reminds us of that passage over in the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 21. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Not thankful. They had all this given to them, but it didn't mean anything except they went to the priest, were declared clean, and they went on with the rest of their life. This one that God had worked a work of grace in, he came back. Notice his position before the Lord. Bowed. He bowed before him. He fell and worshipped him with a loud voice, glorified God, fell on his face, giving thanks unto the Lord. And he was a Samaritan. So the Lord dealt with lepers in his ministry. He healed lepers in his ministry. And in fact, we find out through this that there's only one person that can truly deal with the sin issue. And that is the Savior. There's only one that can deal with us in our leprosy. He's the only one great high priest that can declare that we are white all over. Though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You're saved by the grace of God and nothing else. You didn't contribute a thing. It's an incurable disease. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It's incurable. But God, in his mercy, can cure us of that dreaded disease of leprosy. And you know, we're going to find out that we get to come back to the throne of grace. We're accepted back to the throne of grace. We're no longer outcast, but we're brought back by the grace of God. Well, in that passage in the book of Numbers, chapter 5 and verse 2, we find that there's another group that is to be taken out the camp. The Lord spoke with regard to a woman of childbearing years, that when the time of the month came, she was to be put out. And here we have mainly this is the meaning of this passage of Scripture. There are other thoughts that we're going to bring out. The person with an issue, this particularly speaks of a woman and her ability to have children. It is hard to wrap our heads around the very fact that since we are all touched by our mother, we are, in fact, we're going to read that everything a woman in this condition touches is unclean. And the Lord is sharing with us that though the woman didn't give us this sin, we are touched by her and we are made unclean. By our mother, we are most unclean. In our very birth, she did not give us that uncleanness. It was passed to us by our father, yet the child, even being born, is unclean. No, as this picture is taken, everyone that has an issue is to be put without the camp. And so these women that had this issue once a month, they're put without the camp to demonstrate something that their issue, their children, are unclean. We're unclean by birth. Our mother has touched us. And if you look into the book of Leviticus, the bed was to be taken care of, the very house, everything is unclean by this issue. And God is just sharing with us that we are unclean by our very birth, that we're unclean before God. We didn't have to commit one sin. We are sinners by nature. And it's demonstrated to us in this way. You know, there is some places in the Scripture that the children that are brought into this world are called an issue. Would you turn with me back to the book of Genesis, chapter 48? It's a more in our time, it's a colloquialism, but here in the Scriptures, it was used in Genesis, chapter 48, verses 3 through 6, that this subject came up of an issue, and we are the issue of our parents. We're the issue of our mother. We're the issue of our father. But by our very birth, we're brought into this world. I came forth from my mother's womb, speaking lies. The very process of birth caused me to be in contact. And I'm a sinner. And the only way out of the mess we're in is Jesus Christ, the sin bearer. Here in the book of Genesis, chapter 48, and there in verse 3, it says, "And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me in Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, God Almighty, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into the Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine, and thy issue, thy children, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their children in their inheritance." God Almighty spoke to this patriarch, and this patriarch understood about God Almighty, and he understood about this issue. These are the children that were born unto me. And this issue is the reason that these folks must be put out of the camp. They are bringing sinners into the world. Now, it's the father that passes on the sin nature, but the mother produces them and bears them. And from my mother's womb, I am a liar from my mother's womb. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, this word is also mentioned, but it uses the word nativity in Ezekiel chapter 16. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 16, he's talking from a spiritual, from a pictorial stance, and mentions about Israel. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, notice this. He's speaking about Israel here, and he says this very thing. Ezekiel 16, verses 3 and 4. Says, "And I say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee, and thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all." This is speaking, Ezekiel is preaching a message to the most favored nation in all the world, Jerusalem, and to Israel, and saying, you, in your nativity, in your very birth, you were a sinner. You are a sinner before God. You're a sinner by nature. You were brought into this world as a sinner. And what an indictment it is to have our mother taken without the camp and placed out there, because this very place that they're taken from tells us of the holiness of God. No man shall approach God by their works. No man shall approach God by any means. They are brought to God. They're invited to God. They're led to God. They're placed in the presence of God by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, and by the Son of God going to the cross to pay for their nativity, to pay for their sin. In Mark chapter 5, we remember Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, there was a woman with an issue of blood. Remember that? Mark chapter 5, verse 25. "And again, just as we had the lepers dealt with by the Lord, and one was truly blessed by the grace of God." One was truly blessed. He was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and he's the only one that came back and said, "Thank you, Lord, for saving a sinner like me, for curing a leper like me." And here in the book of Matthew, as we think about this issue that is shared with us over in the book of Numbers. In the book of Matthew, or excuse me, the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 25. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. We've mentioned that many times, that she dealt with people just like we do in religion. I have a problem, but nobody can help me with it. I have a problem. Nobody can deal with it. It's an incurable problem. I can't deal with it. I appreciated what Pastor Bill said in his message on Wednesday night. Who can raise himself from the dead? It's an impossibility. We cannot cure our leprosy. We cannot cure our issue. We cannot cure it. And here it goes on to tell us in the book of Mark chapter 5, it says in verse 27, and when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, the disciples are just like we would. What are you talking about? You're in a great crowd. Many people have touched you. Many people have touched you. And yet, there was one chosen before the foundation of the world that touched him. Because God had given her the grace to do it. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest, who touched me? And he looked around and about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. All the truth. You're God Almighty. You're the only one that could heal me. You took care of the issue. You took care of the problem. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What a blessing it is that God alone, Christ alone, can deal with the issue that we have. We're born into this world as sinners, and there's only one that can take care of that issue. And that's the sin forgiver, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you remember, there's one other group that was called on to leave the camp because of the holiness of God. This other group, we find whosoever is defiled by the dead. Whosoever is defiled by the dead. We have lepers, those that have an issue, and those who have been defiled by the dead. I hate to tell you, and I hate to give you the bad news, but did you touch yourself today? Defiled. We are defiled. We're dead in trespasses and sin. We are defiled. You know, the condition that we face is that we're dead. For in Adam all die. Out of the camp. Can't have you around. Lepers, those with an issue, those that are defiled by the dead, can't have you in the camp. This is holy ground. This is holy ground. Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. In Ephesians, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Colossians chapter 2. Would you turn with me there? Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins. Now this is something that natural man just can't see. Just cannot see how dead we are. Natural man, we think there is just a little bit. This, as I've mentioned many times, this is the only area of all of life that there is a discussion about the meaning of the word dead. Only place. I was discussing this issue with that young man I've been visiting with, and I just said, how dead was Adam before the Lord came? How dead was he? And you know, we just can't get there by nature. But when the Lord saves us by His grace, we find that there was absolutely dead in trespasses and sin. That there was no life whatsoever. That the pictures of the Lord dealing with a young girl at 12 years of age, a young man being carried out of Nain, and Lazarus, who was in the tomb for 4 days and decomposing, all have the same problem. They're dead. And it says here, so you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, and your works are dead. You're just, hath he quickened together. So he has quickened. That's the cure. That's the cure. He must quicken. He must give life. That's the cure. Together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. What was against us? All the ordinances of the Old Testament. What was against those people that were there as they're just preparing to move towards the promised land? What was against them? The ordinance. God gave them an ordinance. Take all of the lepers. Take all of those with an issue, and take all of those that are contaminated by touching someone dead out the camp. This is holy ground. We'll not have them in here. Now, it's a symbol to us about those who were there. Those had been a picture, at least, of those who were made righteous by the blood of Christ. But those who are not, without the camp, which was contrary to us and took us out of the way, nailing it to the cross. The problem, terrible problem, is that we are lepers. We have an issue, and we're all contaminated by dead men. We're contaminated. We have this issue about us. And yet, we read in the scriptures about the glorious touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. He dealt with a leper. A number of lepers in his ministry. He dealt with this woman with an issue of blood. And he dealt with dead people. Now, let's just look at a few verses here. The Lord's touch, as he dealt with this. This is the only way that we get out of the mess we're in. It's the Lord, and it's the work of the Lord. He touches us. In the book of Matthew chapter 20, I know moms have to do this sometimes with us physically, but it sure is hard on dads. And that is, our children come to us with a problem with their eye, all pussy up. And moms just take care of it. That's in stride. But dads, oh my goodness. Notice here, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 34. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34, it says here, so Jesus had compassion on them. We got some blind folks. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Touched their eyes. Just can't see him until he touches our eyes. Touches our eyes by the grace of God. And then if you look with me just a little ahead in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And there was a leper. There came a leper to him. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion. When was that compassion developed? When was that passion in his heart? When was that before the foundation of the world? That's where his compassion was. Put forth his hand, and look what he did. He touched a leper. The Lord touched a leper, and said unto him, I will be thou clean. What a glorious thing we have here as it pictures the Lord in His mercy touching sinners and lifting them out of a horrible pit. In the book of Mark, chapter 7, would you notice there with me? This is the work of the Lord to deal with these problems that we have. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 33, I have grave difficulty touching anybody's tongue, don't you? Ooh. Notice this, Mark chapter 7, verse 33. And this, the Lord has to touch us before we can speak for Him. The Lord has to touch us before we can talk for Him. In verse 33 of this chapter 7, it says, "And He took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain." Now that's one thing about the gospel. It allows us to speak plain about the grace of God. Mincing no words, no additional words about anything that we've done. It is the grace of God. And yet it takes the Lord to touch our tongue. In the book of Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 8 verse 14. Remember over there, if you've touched someone that's dead, you're to be put out of the camp. Here in Mark chapter 8 and verse 14, now the disciples, the young woman, is it chapter 7? Well, the passage I wanted, and this just keeps reminding me I'm a sinner saved by grace. A young lady was dead, and they mocked and made fun of him when he said that she's not dead, she's going to be raised. Anyway, the scriptures tell us he touched her hand and said unto her, "Maid, arise." And she arose. He touched her hand. A living God, God the living God, touched the hand of a dead person and caused her to rise. How glorious. I think it might be in Luke chapter 8. Let's try that. Luke chapter 8. Here we go. Luke chapter 8, verse 54, "And he put them all out." They were laughing about him raising her. "And he took her by the hand," Almighty God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, "took her hand and called, saying," now she's a dead young lady, but here we have the master of death. We have him who took our death by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. What a glorious statement. Those three groups of people that were commanded to be put out of the camp, the only way back in and into the holiness of God, into the presence of God, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the mediator. He's the one, and he's the one that went to the cross on our behalf. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that put sin away. He's the only one that can take lepers, sinful people, and make them whole. He's the only one that can take those with an issue. We're born into this world with this dreaded disease, sin. "From my mother's womb I came forth, from my mother's womb speaking lies." And this one dealing with dead people, "I was born dead. I had this ability to be animated physically, but no spirituality whatsoever. Even though we thought we did, we had none. We had no idea in this world. We were just given all of this resurrected power by the Lord Jesus Christ, and hath raised us up together." Now, in closing this morning, I want to turn to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. First John. First John, chapter 1, verse 1. This is the commentary that the Apostle John got to give on the whole thing. This is his commentary, given to him by the grace of God, given to him by the Lord himself. And that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. Now notice this. We've been welcomed into his presence. How do we know that? And our hands have handled the word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given us the grace to come, not only to see with our eyes and to look upon, and our hands have handled, not only to hear him, to see him, but to handle him. How does he allow us to do this? He's given us his righteousness. We can come and lay hold of him by faith, touch him by faith. We're welcome into his presence by faith. What a gracious gift he has given to us. So all those that were cast out, lepers, issue of blood, those who had been defiled by dead, by touching a dead body, the Lord Jesus in his personal ministry shares with us, as throughout the Old Testament and all the gospel that is preached there, that's his victory to give us. He takes care of our leprosy. He takes care of our issue. And he takes care of us being defiled by death. Glory to God in the highest. Praise him, praise him, praise him. He is the Savior that saves his people from their sins.